buzzer has sounded. We are headed to overtime with William Pattison on Fox Sports Knoxville. This is Fan Run Radio.
It's overtime again here on this Friday evening. Sorry about the technical difficulties. It's been really windy in Knoxville here today, and the wind did not want us to do our first couple segments, apparently. But we are going to give this another shot. Dawson Wise, Jordan Moore, still coming at you from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio before a big weekend here for sports in Knoxville, before we were so rudely interrupted by the elements. We'll talk in the next hour. We'll talk about baseball. We were going to do it this hour. It's going to be pushed to next hour, as well as my segment in the news. And a couple of other topics over there on the other side. But first things first, presented by the 37 Club, which provides access to unique content, exclusive events, private communities, and special discounts on fan-run merchandise. Join on fanrunradio.com today. And today's first topic is the Vols' spring game. Tennessee football will culminate its spring with the 2024 Orange and White game at 1 p.m. Eastern Saturday in Neyland Stadium, which will be at a significantly limited capacity of approximately 10,000 fans due to construction. Construction continues on the stadium's south end, west side, and upper north end as part of the historic Neyland Stadium renovation project. Similar to previous orange and white games in the Josh Heupel era, offense will wear white jerseys and be on the home sideline. Defense will wear orange jerseys and be on the visiting sideline. Quarterbacks will wear the smoky gray jersey tops. Normal game scoring will apply with offense while wearing white jerseys, alternating possessions for orange and white. Now, the first half will be timed normally with two 15-minute quarters. There will be a 10-minute halftime before a second half that features a running clock. Tickets are sold out for the game, which begins at 1 p.m. Eastern, but it will be streamed on SEC Network Plus, and as I understand it, there will be a watch party in the Vol Village tomorrow before the baseball game. Jordan, we'll bring in now. What are you hoping to take away from Saturday's spring game?
I'm just looking to see, you know, the depth at running back. Looking to, you know, really, you know, it's hard to take a lot from a scrimmage like this. You know, the coaches don't really want to show a lot on the offensive end. Show what they have brought in with some of the new guys. So really, the thing that I'm looking at most is just looking at the new guys and seeing what they look like. You know, how athletic they are. You know, what position are they in? I'm looking forward to seeing some of the young guys on the offensive line, because a lot of the veterans haven't really went through a lot of the spring practice so far. So I'm looking to see how those guys have developed. And you know, it's different than what it used to be, especially when I was a kid. You know, you look forward to going and getting the players' autographs, meeting the players, and seeing an actual game. And it's not like that anymore. So it's really it's turning to just seeing what the young guys look like in these spring games now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the offense a little bit. I know, you know, we're not going to see a ton of it, and they're not going to open the playbook. But I want to see them gel. I want to see how that's going, because, again, a lot of newcomers in the offense, and obviously a brand-new starting quarterback, no matter if he started the bowl game or not. If he doesn't have good chemistry now, it's going to be something we're going to be talking about through the summer. So I want him to go ahead and just reassure me, hey, the receiving core is gelling, and the offense is going well on that part. Growth from the DBs, I mean, this has been the weakest unit for Tennessee for 3 years. This is mostly for the guys that have been here. You know, Conyer, Jordan Matthews, Ricky Gibson, Jordan Thomas, guys like that. I want to see them grow. Obviously, we don't know what we're getting out of, you know, Jermod McCoy, Jacoby Thomas, newcomers yet, but I want to see the guys that have been here grow like they have since they got on campus. I mean, yeah, like you said, the newcomers, Brazell, Stays, Matthews, Staley, Ross, Carter, all going to be playing in tomorrow's spring game, we imagine. I want to see those guys show out. We've been promised big things with this transfer class and this freshman class, and I want them to, you know, give me a few big plays from the receivers. Let Mike Matthews go get one down the sideline and let us say, okay, that kid's going to be really good. You know, give me some edge rushing stuff from Jordan Ross. Let him get to the quarterback. I mean, you know, obviously we're not going to see a ton of contact, but let him explode off the edge and beat an offensive lineman, and we can say, oh, that kid's going to be really good. That's the kind of thing I want to see as well tomorrow afternoon. Saturday will be Nico Iamaleava's first opportunity to show Vol fans what he has added to his bag since his impressive outing against Iowa in the Citrus Bowl. What are you looking to see from QB1?
Yeah, I'm just looking to see how he controls the offense and how consistent he is and everything that he does, and, you know, the fast pace. Can he control the speed of how the offense gets back to the line of scrimmage? Is he in control of everything? He looked that way in the bowl game to me. You look for him to continue that aspect of it, just be in command. He clearly, when you watch him play in the ball game and the little bit of
times he went into games this season, you saw the athletic ability jump off the page. He has all the measurables. He has the athletic ability. It's really coming down to just controlling the offense, controlling the pace of how fast they're going, understanding the concepts and where his eyes need to be. And to me, in the bowl game, he showed that. So you just want to continue to see that growth out of him this weekend. And, you know, the main thing is this weekend with everything, but specifically the quarterback position in Nico, is you just want him to be healthy coming out of this game. You know, last year in this game, you lost Ethan Davis for the summer, and, you know, he was making a lot of noise in the spring. So you just want Nico to stay healthy, get him a few snaps. And I think it's critical to, you know, get him a couple of series and get him out of there to see what your backups are going to do, because right now, you know, there could be a backup competition with Gaston Moore and Jake Merklinger because, you know, knock on wood, the last thing you want is for Nico to go down at any point this season, and then you have to play, you know, one of those guys and then them not be ready. So get Nico, you know, a few series here and there. Let him show the arm off. Let him show the agility off, his athletic ability, and then let's see what these backups have to do.
Yeah, I agree. My first thing is show us he's still him. You know, show us, you know, that he is still that guy we saw in December in the Citrus Bowl. I want him to, you know, show me his growth, you know, that he can get quicker with his progressions and do the usual growth things we see a young quarterback do. I want to see that a little bit tomorrow. Connect with the new receivers goes back to gelling with the offense. Bunch of new targets. I want to see him gel with those guys and have good chemistry. It's going to be a key to this offense working this season. So I want to see that those guys have already had a chance to grow together and work into the offense. And then flash the arm talent. You know, he's not going to be in there for very long, so let him throw one down the middle of the field. Let him throw a couple tough passes to kind of dazzle the crowd, dazzle us a little bit, and give us just a little taste of what we're going to see this season. Reassure the fans that this is the guy. This is the guy we've been waiting for, and the encouraging prospect that we know Nico to be. One storyline Tennessee fans will be monitoring on Saturday is the running back depth chart. Though head coach Josh Heupel's offense is often thought of as pass first, the Vols led the SEC in rushing in 2023 and haven't finished worse than sixth in that category since Heupel arrived in 2021. Dylan Sampson was a breakout star in the Citrus Bowl, rushing for 133 yards on 20 carries. He is entrenched as the starter heading into 2024. However, Heupel likes to rotate two or three backs, and there aren't many certainties behind Sampson. Sophomore Cameron Seldon rushed for 55 yards in the bowl win and is number two on the depth chart, but a shoulder injury has him out for the spring. Sophomore Khalifa Keith is the only other scholarship running back who has seen game action. Look for Keith and redshirt freshman Deshaun Bishop to get plenty of the work as the Vols look to build depth at a position that was a strength in 2023. Saturday, going to be a huge opportunity in my opinion. How big of an opportunity is it for the running back group?
It's a massive opportunity because, you know, right now you would think that the staff is debating on if they should go into the portal and add another veteran running back into the running back room. So it's vital for these young guys, the Deshaun Bishop, the Khalifa Keith, to show out well, you know, even in this game, but specifically throughout the entire spring practice as it's winding down here, to give the staff some confidence that they don't have to go into the portal and add anybody out of it. But I thought last spring, even as a regular freshman, I thought Deshaun Bishop looked pretty good in a spring game. And let's see if he can carry that over to this season and to this spring practice, into this spring game. There's been a little bit of buzz that he has looked really, really good throughout spring practice. So let's see that on display on Saturday. Khalifa Keith is the bigger back of all of them. You know, he's the bolder. You want to see him, to show that ability to get the extra yardage, fall forward, pick up the short yardage and short yardage situations. For me, the big bummer is, you know, Peyton Lewis is hurt, hasn't went through spring practice, and he shot up the recruiting rankings throughout his senior season. He had an incredible senior year. I think he's one of the more talented running backs in the room. So it's vital for Keith and Deshaun Bishop to show what they have too, because you have Cam Sedrin coming back. You have Peyton Lewis here in the fall that's going to be ready to go once fall practice shows around. So they need to be a notch ahead of those guys, because if they're not, they can get knocked down the totem pole there a little bit if they're not showing what they're capable of doing.
Yeah, well, this is a wide open race for the backup running back spot. It's the most wide open it's been in 3 years. I mean, because you lose Wright and Small to the draft. Now only Sampson is left. From there, completely wide open. So huge opportunity for guys to move up the depth chart, whereas the last couple of years you were kind of stuck, you know, fourth or fifth down there. Now a chance to move up. They'll get full spotlight. No Seldon. Sampson likely to do the same thing as Nico, I would think, have a couple series, and then he will probably sit. So they'll get a ton of reps most of this game. So all eyes on them. Undivided attention from fans and from coaches. Massive opportunity to use that spotlight and say, I should be the next guy up. And, for the guys that have yet to see a ton of action, like a Deshaun Bishop. This is a chance to get out there and show us how you translate and really finally get an opportunity to prove yourself and make your name on this team and remind us why we wanted you here so bad in Bishop's case. Moving on now to the offensive line. Another thing to keep an eye on is the injury situation on the offensive line. The Vols are not only dealing with a key running back injury, but they also are not at full strength up front. They've been without starting right guard Javontis Spraggins, left guard Andre Carrick, and several key backups. Starting center Cooper Mays has been limited throughout the spring, while potential starting left guard Jackson Lampley is also banged up. Additionally, seventh-year senior John Campbell Jr. was held out of last week's scrimmage. The Vols could be without multiple starters and up to 8 linemen overall, so fans should have a chance to look at some of the younger players on the roster. Is the health of the offensive line already a problem heading into the season?
You know, that to me, that's a tough one, because I was talking about this with somebody the other day, and you know, it sucks that you've had some of these veteran players miss spring practice to kind of get, you know, the chemistry down. But then at the same time, I feel like, number one, it's a good thing, because these haven't been serious injuries. You know, obviously, Spraggins is coming back from having surgery because he got hurt at the end of the year. But the rest of these guys are kind of just nicks and bruises, kind of holding them out. Cooper Mays holding him out. So that's that. A lot of this is precautionary, because you know what these guys can do. Then I also think it's a benefit, too, because these younger guys are getting plenty of reps. And we need some of these younger offensive linemen to come on and to develop and get better. And you know, the thing is, from the talk out of camp, is this defensive line has been really good. It has a chance to be probably the best defensive line in the SEC, one of the best in the country. So these young guys are getting baptism by fire. You know, I mean, they're getting beat up every day. They have a learning experience every day. And hopefully they learn from everything through this spring, and then these veterans come back in the fall. You have, you know, Campbell back healthy, you have Cooper back healthy, you get Spraggins, you get Lampley, and they're all back healthy. But then the experience these younger guys have gained from spring practice is able to build more depth. That way, in case an injury happens during the season, now these young guys are ready to step in, and you know, they've already went up against one of the best defense lines in the country, so they're not getting, you know, baptism by fire when they go against a Georgia or an Alabama or an Oklahoma. They've already experienced the best of the best. So to me, the offensive line situation, it's 50-50 to me. It's a little bit of concerning that these guys have been banged up, yes. But then at the same time, I think it could potentially be a long-term blessing by these younger guys getting a lot of reps that they need to get.
Well, yeah, we'd had this question before on here of, you know, what is the depth on the offensive line? We actually asked it, I think, last week when we started talking about spring camp. And this is going to be now an opportunity to see it. Now, I didn't think we'd see the depth quite this fast. I didn't think we'd be forced into a spot where these depth guys would get this opportunity. You know, 8 guys going down in the spring. It's not what you wanted, but it's going to turn into an opportunity because now you get to see what you have. I mean, this is a massive chance for some of these depth guys, some of the freshmen, to, you know, make a statement and say, okay, if Lance Hurd goes down, if John Campbell goes down, if Cooper Mays goes down, I'm the guy you can turn to put in that spot. Massive opportunity. We're going to see who's going to step up, fill in that spot when they're needed, and who those unlikely heroes can be, because you're going to need guys like that. The way we've seen offensive line injuries for this team. Last thing about the spring game and possibly the biggest unknown, Heupel's coaching staff is also trying to create some versatility in the secondary. Tennessee is breaking in a new-look secondary after losing multiple starters from last year's team. Oregon State transfer Jermaud McCoy, Temple transfer Jalen McMurray, and sophomore Ricky Gibson III have emerged as some of the top names at corner for the Vols. Meanwhile, safety Andre Turrentine has been a consistent veteran presence throughout the spring, but the staff is still trying to nail down the other safety spot. Freshman Boo Carter, transfer Jacoby Thomas, and sophomore John Slaughter are all names to look for on Saturday. The Vols are hoping to improve their playmaking in the secondary after struggling when Kamal Haddon went down last season. Is the secondary the Vols' biggest question mark heading into Saturday?
Yes, I think it's the biggest question mark on the entire team for next season and the success of this team for next season. I think you're pretty – when you look at this roster at every other position, I think you're pretty much set at a lot of positions on this team. Even your 1 and 2 deep, I think you're pretty much set. The secondary, you're not. You brought in a lot of new bodies. You have a lot of young faces. And, you know, you're hearing that Ricky Gibson has performed really well. Jermaud McCoy has performed really well. You're hearing Jalen McMurray has performed really well. You know, 2 of those are new guys into the program. One of them played a little, you know, sparingly as a freshman. it's kind of worrisome, but it's also, to me, kind of exciting, too, at the same time, because you have so much new blood in that secondary with so much potential. You hear coming out of reports, coming out of camp, that they're way more athletic than they have been in the past few years, which is very, very encouraging. So it's vital. It's crucial. It is the biggest question mark on this team. It's the biggest question mark on Saturday. You want to see that athleticism, as I talked about, things to watch for this game. You want to see that athleticism jump off, you know, the page, or jump off the field, so you can see how athletic they are. And build some depth. You've heard a lot about Boo Carter and how explosive, and he's been making plays. You want to see that. I want to see that on Saturday is one thing I want to see. I would say that's one of the top things I want to see, is Boo Carter out there and how he performs, because there's been a lot of noise out of camp that you're going to be tough to keep him off the field. But yeah, secondary by far the biggest question mark heading into Saturday. And so it will be the biggest question mark, regardless of what happens at fall camp, regardless of what they look like tomorrow. To me, the secondary is the biggest question mark for this team heading into the season.
Yeah, the most turnover of any position group on the team. You had, I believe, 8 players off that secondary leave, whether for the draft or for the transfer portal. Tons of newcomers, tons of freshmen, guys that don't have meaningful game reps. Most of these guys, we don't know what we're going to get until we see them tomorrow. And at this point, look, anything feels like an upgrade after the past few years with some of the playmaking issues and underwhelming play at those positions. But to have this amount of transfers and freshmen and green players is unheard of, and certainly something to watch on Saturday. Again, the spring game kicks off tomorrow at 1 o'clock on SEC Network from Neyland Stadium, and 10,000 will be at that game. It'll be on SEC Network Plus as we get our first look at the 2024 Vols. Before we hit the hour break, we do have a few minutes left. Let's go ahead and hit our best bets while we're at it here. We'll talk about baseball on the other side of the hour. I've got two tonight, both in the NBA. The first one, Celtics -6.5 against the Hornets. I don't know what it is with these small lines in the Boston Celtics, but again, ridiculous to not take this one tonight. Charlotte has not been good this year. Boston, best team in the league, and they're playing like it. This line's suspiciously small. Celtics -6.5.
Yeah, I have one for tonight. I'm going to take the Indiana Pacers +3.5 against the Cavs. They're on a 3-game winning streak. This game is for playoff positioning, so it's going to be vital for Indiana to continue this streak, you know, position themselves well for the playoffs. So I'm going to take Indiana +3.5 against the Cavs tonight.
Last one for me, also in the NBA, is Warriors -4.5 against the New Orleans Pelicans. Golden State has figured it out. They are the team of old. Now they host the playoff-bound Pelicans tonight, who have been playing good basketball. But if the Warriors can even get close to replicating their absurd performance offensively against the Lakers the other night, this one should be another pretty easy win for a team that's getting hot at exactly the right time and is bound for the postseason and bound for big things in the postseason. Do you have any more?
I'll take one more. It's, to me, you know, when you look at spreads in the NBA, a lot of times these big spreads, double-digit spreads, usually don't come to fruition. Tonight, the Miami Heat are favored by 14.5 against the Toronto Raptors. And as a Miami Heat fan, I've kind of been following them all year. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. There's no consistency with this team at all. So I could potentially see Toronto backdoor covering on the 14.5 against Miami tonight.
Yeah, those big spreads are weird in
yeah,
the NBA.
And Miami's just – they're way too inconsistent, man. They're tough to watch. One night they look like a top-five team in the NBA, and Jimmy looks like a top-five player. Then for 2 weeks, they look like a team that should be in the lottery.
That's why we all picked them, I think, the other day as pretenders instead of contenders on the show the other day, because of the inconsistency.
They're definitely pretenders right now.
But my two best bets, Celtics -6.5 against the Hornets, Warriors -4.5 against the Pelicans. Jordan, your two?
Indiana +3.5, and then Toronto +14.5.
All right, that's going to do it for our best bets, and going to do it for an abbreviated hour number one with the technical issues. But stay with us if you're on the phone lines. We'll get to you first after the hour break. Before we talk baseball, as the base Vols kick off from Lindsey Nelson here about 35 minutes, we'll talk that and more on the other side. You listen to Overtime. This is Fan Run Radio.